Well, even for Draymond Green, this is kind of extreme, right? Getting thrown out of the second game in a row. Back-to-back ejections for Draymond Green.
No, it's par for the course,
actually,
right?
It's two out of three.
Two out of three, it? Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the Cleveland game.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Then he talked some trash to Anthony Edwards on Sunday.
Three. Right.
And then he got thrown out last night. Par for the course for Draymond Green.
Uh-huh. And the whole thing started, in my opinion, and I'm not saying, no one is blameless. I'm not trying to make excuses. But I think what happened was on the Warriors' first possession, Klay comes down, shoots an air ball, and then Jaden McDaniels said something about it. And then so the next time down the floor, Klay, instead of blocking him out, he just grabs McDaniels' jersey. McDaniels grabs Klay's jersey back as they head back down the floor. They start tussling. And then Rudy Gobert comes in, and then Draymond says, "Oh, this is my chance to lock up the big Frenchman."
You know, I was about to shoot a video in the parking lot because I wanted to send a message to Warriors fans. I was going to talk directly to Golden State Warriors fans, but I'll say it here on the drive, guys, and I want my Kings fans to listen up also. They got to do something about that guy. He's unhinged right now. Draymond Green, his usefulness as a productive member of a basketball team is expiring. It's running out. Draymond Green is like that milk in your refrigerator, Whitey, that you see the expiration date and you know it's coming. So each day you open it up, you smell it. All right, it's still good. It's the next day, same thing, it's still good. Well, Draymond Green, you open him up, you smell him, it's not smelling good right now.
Right.
And if you're the Golden State Warriors, you can't let this continue. If you're Adam Silver, you can't let this continue, because what we saw last night is how the malice at the palace gets started. He escalated that to a different level. It was WWE SmackDown and Monday Night Raw all rolled into one. He was that guy in the locker room just watching on TV and all of a sudden came running down the aisle, jumped in the ring, off the top rope, delivered the chokehold. That cannot happen in an NBA game.
There's two problems with what you said. Firstly, Steph Curry doesn't want him going anywhere. Steph Curry loves that expired milk. So from the Warriors' standpoint, like, well, Steph wants him here, so we want Steph. Steph's got to be happy. So that's one reason they're kind of cross purposes. The other reason is, I don't know why, but everyone, I think, in the whole Warrior organization, they're terrified of Draymond. I don't know what it is. They never take any action against Draymond. But then secondly, from the NBA standpoint, I understand what you're saying and the importance of making sure you don't have another malice in the palace. But you know, this is great for business.
Is it really?
It is, because it creates interest.
But there's a fine line, Whitey, because how far will it go, especially with the new TV deal coming up? What if Rudy Gobert or Carl Anthony Towns or one of his teammates said, you know what Draymond's doing? I'm going to go do it to him. Like, and that's how it escalates. So I get it. It's the talk of the town.
Yeah.
But if you're Adam Silver, there were some great games last night.
Mm-hmm.
That Clippers-Nuggets game was an amazing game. We're not talking about basketball. We're talking about a fight. We're talking about Draymond Green. And so I understand when it comes to the NBA is probably the best league when it comes to this. Like, the interest of things that happen outside of actual basketball maybe matches, you know, the interest. But there comes a certain point where it can go too far. And Draymond is a ticking time bomb right now. Three straight games, Whitey, in which he's done something. We mentioned the Donovan Mitchell shove and the technical and ejection a couple of games ago. Anthony Edwards, he got into it with him. Some of the things that Draymond says on the court, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, who does this guy think he is? Is he on the playground in Flint, or is he on an NBA basketball court? He needs to leave that playground crap on the playground. He has to be a professional. And if I'm Adam Silver, I'm whacking him. This is not a one game or two game suspension. This is five at minimum. Draymond has to sit down and chill for a little bit.
You know, if he misses six, if it's six, and I don't think it will be, but if it is, he would miss the Kings game.
No, I want him in that Kings game.
Yeah.
It has to be five, because that Kings game is at Golden One Center.
Right.
We need to see him front and center, face to face. Domantas Sabonis needs to get some atonement. The Kings fan base needs to get some atonement. And so, can you imagine if that his first game back is that game against the Kings? final in-season tournament game as well, nationally televised TNT.
I don't think he'll get five, and I understand what you're saying. I don't disagree with it in principle, but you know the NBA wants as much Warriors as they can get. If Draymond is suspended for five games, even though, as you pointed out, he's not the player he was, I think that minimizes your chances of the Warriors doing well in this tournament, doing well in the playoffs. I think three is the most they would give him. We'll see. I think they'll give him like two. But I also think the commissioner, he won't do this, but he should go to the Warriors and say, look, as an organization, you are enabling this.
Right.
Why? Why do you tolerate this time yes. after time? You make my job easier. You make your own job
right.
Harder. You make my job harder, I should say. You make your own job harder. Why do the Warriors as an organization tolerate this time after time after time?
But it's not just the Warriors as an organization, Whitey, and that's the problem with Draymond Green. It's the NBA. The NBA didn't suspend him for sucker-punching Jordan Poole. Draymond Green, night in and night out, argues with the officials. The officials let him get away
yes, they do.
With a much longer leash than other players.
Yes, they
and
do.
And so the NBA, the Warriors, they're all enabling Draymond, and now he's become this caricature, this wrestling kind of figure. Remember, when he stomped on Sabonis, it wasn't just the stomp. It's his reaction to the crowd standing up on the bench, the seats right there, taunting the crowd. He has become a caricature, and I'm afraid it's almost going to go too far. That could have escalated quickly last night.
Yes, at least the NBA has taken some action against him. Have they taken enough? Probably not. But the Warriors haven't done anything. As you said, he punched Jordan Poole, and they said, well, he's going to be by himself for a little bit.
Right.
Did they suspend him? They didn't say he did. So if you don't announce it, then what good does it do? You're not suspending somebody if he's just taking a few days off. But the Warriors, they don't know what to do with him. They don't know how to handle him. They are afraid of him. You know the players on the team are afraid of him.
The players are afraid of him. Steve Kerr seems to be afraid of him. You know, he didn't admonish him at all yesterday in the press conference after the game.
They are bending over backwards to come up with excuses.
How about this? The broadcast team is afraid of him? It's ridiculous. And it'd be different. And I know Draymond is probably a Hall of Fame player. But it's okay. I don't know if you heard Chris Finch yesterday after the game, the Minnesota Timberwolves coach. He said the officials got it right. They handled it well. The guys who got ejected deserve to be ejected. How come Steve Kerr can't say that? Steve Kerr afterwards says there's no way Klay Thompson should have been ejected. And then Draymond saw what happened and was coming.
Klay.
He was defending Klay. Instead of saying, you know what? Draymond was wrong. He deserved to get ejected.
When's the last time they said that?
I can't.
About anything.
Did they even have a come to Jesus press conference for Draymond, after the Jordan Poole incident?
I don't believe they did. Like, they had Steph spoke about it.
Draymond should have faced the music and had a public apology for what went down for Jordan Poole, the Jordan Poole situation. I don't know if that actually happened. And that goes back to the point, they are enabling him.
They are.
The league, the Warriors specifically. I know he helped you win some titles, but come on now.
And I would go so far as to say he needs the help. I mean, this is a guy who too often you see him and you saw the look on his face last night. That guy needs help. I'm not saying he needs to be in an institution anything or he's lost his mind. But this rage, I think Draymond could use a little help dealing with that.
And you know, a lot of times too, when guys play basketball, I'll usually try to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You know, it's athletics. Your heart's pumping. Your blood's pumping. This was less than 2 minutes into the game. You couldn't even work up a lather yet. Why did he have all that rage that early right off after the opening tip?
Because he can't stand Rudy Gobert. And like I say, he saw, this is my chance to go lock him up. He just carries that rage all over. And it's funny, the announcers last night were saying, as this thing was just developing, and, you know, announcers got to be careful about what they say. And, you know, those guys I've talked to both of them, and they're good guys.
Who are you talking about, Bob and Kalina?
Yes,
I'll call them out by name,
yeah.
Bob and Kalina,
yes.
The Warriors guys.
Yeah,
okay.
They're good guys, and they're real pros. But it's difficult. You know, you're not sure what's going on or what to say. And what was it, Kalina, where they're saying, what's going on? What's going on with McDaniels? Hey, what got into him?
Right,
you know, and then
right.
Like, oh, Draymond always gets the short end of the stick. We know that. And, you know, all that is like, no, that's Aren't you even seeing what's actually going on?
Right. And so as a team broadcaster, I get it. You're going to view things with, in this case, blue and gold colored glasses.
Yeah.
There's going to be that tent.
To a degree, that's part of the job.
Yeah, it's part of the job. I always like to say, you know, I see things 50-50, but I'm going to give my team the benefit of the doubt. When there's a jump ball, you know, a question, if it could go the Kings' way, I'm pulling for the Kings. But those guys, time and time again, like the video is right there, and they're showing the replay several times, and they're still holding on to, you know, look at Rudy Gobert choking Clay. They said he choked Clay Thompson.
I think there might even have been a what got into McDaniels.
Right. It's I get it being Homer. You know, that's your hometown team, but there becomes a point. There's a line that guys can't cross. And what Draymond did, it wasn't just the chokehold, Whitey. It was he kept him in the headlock.
Oh, yeah.
Dragged him around. Uh-huh. He was parading him around. And Rudy Gobert is flailing his arms like, help,
Did you see the look on Steve Kerr's face when he was coming over there?
No, I did. I got to look closer at that.
As he comes up and he sees what's going on, he's like, Draymond. Yeah, he was terrified.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about this, obviously, leading up to Kings-Lakers. We're going to get into that in a minute. Does the league have a Draymond Green problem right now, would you say?
Ooh. I think ultimately it's good for business. And I think.
What?
Yes. I do. They're not comfortable with it, but they also recognize the numbers are going to be, you know, when here's next game, whenever that is, people are going to be watching. What's Draymond going to do? And you don't want Draymond missing any of your precious tournament games. And you know that as well as I do.
Yes. But here's the problem with Draymond. And I said it earlier, there's a fine line. He's touching that line. You got the new TV deal set to come up. The last thing you can afford is an unhinged player igniting some sort of Malice in the Palace Part 2. And that's what I'm afraid Draymond is getting to right now. And that's why I think it's imperative on Adam Silver to send a message to sit him down. I say 5 games. You know, it'll probably be, in my opinion, 3 to 5 games. Mm-hmm. I think it should be 5 games. But this dude needs to chill out for a while.
Bottom of the hour, Anthony Slater's going to join us. He covers the Warriors for The Athletic. He was there last night. When we come right back, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. What's a fair number for a Draymond Green suspension? What do you got? It's a Drive Guys with more on that when we come right back on Sacktown Sports. The NBA says they are investigating whatever it was that happened last night in the Minnesota Warriors game. Draymond Green ejected for putting Rudy Gobert in a chokehold, than you had. It was just chaos. 10-17 remaining in the opening quarter. And then Clay was gone. Jaden McDaniels was gone. And then Draymond Green ejected. So where does the league go from here? A lot of people kicking around what the suspension should be. Can we agree on this? I think it was Jay Williams today on ESPN. And I know he played in the league, so he knows things about it that we'll never know. But he says 10 games. There's no way they're going to suspend him for 10 games.
No way. I think, you know, when I woke up this morning, I said 5 to 10 in my mind.
Uh-huh.
But I looked at it, thought about it more. I think at maximum, it'll be 5 games. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking at, you know, the laundry list of things that Draymond has done in his career. You know, he had the Steven Adams kick to the private parts. In 2016, he kicked Kyrie Irving in the neck. He kicked James Harden. LeBron James, remember, he hit him. I mean, James Harden throat. Like, there's a whole list. All you got to do is Google Draymond Green incidents.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a laundry list of things. And so, if I'm the NBA, I'm not looking at what happened last night as an isolated incident. An isolated incident, probably a game, maybe two, but Draymond should be officiated different. Draymond should be adjudicated differently because he has a long track record.
I know, and Draymond and some Warrior apologists try to dress it up this way. Well, just because he did things before, they're unfair to him. But that's his own doing. That's
right.
That's makes sense.
It's like in real life, if you get arrested and you have a long rap sheet of criminal history, you're going to get
that's
a longer sentence.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And I'm tired of these Draymond apologists out there, these Warrior fans, Steve Kerr, the whole organization. Like, let's call it what it is. What he did was unimaginable. Like, to put somebody in the headlock and not only do that, drag them around the arena, around the floor, that echoes 80s basketball, 90s basketball. And I thought we were trying to get away from that. The NBA is a billion, multi-billion dollar league. And if I'm a Commissioner Adam Silver, the last thing, you say it's good for business, but the last thing I want is my guys fighting like that.
Yeah, I understand that. One of the scary things about Draymond and his career arc, if you will, you mentioned how earlier in his career, you know, he would kick people and, you know, he would get away with it until somebody finally realized, hey, he's doing that on purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's just so over the top. Now it's literally, it's gone from, hey, I kicked somebody, no one saw it, to I'm going to stomp on this guy's chest. I'm going to put this guy in a chokehold and grab him across the floor.
And you know what it is?
It has to be stopped.
It has to be stopped. And what's happening with Draymond, and we're seeing it before our eyes, when your skills start to diminish, you start losing games, you're not as good as you once were, you start resorting to dirty tactics to try and stay relevant. And that's what Draymond is doing. He's trying to stay relevant right now because we know, look at his numbers, they're way down historically over versus his career. He had the one game against Sacramento in game number 4, I believe it was, that, you know, was really good. It might have been game 5, actually, game 5. But other than that, I said it earlier, his value to the Warriors, I think, is it's about to expire. Like, you know, maybe they need Kuminga a little more. Give him because Draymond right now, I know it's Steph's guy. I know it's Klay's guy. I know he's like the enforcer of the team, but now he's hurting them. He's going to be suspended multiple games, and they're going, you know, their slide is going to continue.
That was another one of the cringeworthy comments last night. And again, I know it's difficult, especially when you work for the team, but it was, well, you know, the Warriors came out tonight. They wanted to make sure they matched the Timberwolves' physicality.
They're fake tough guys. That's the problem with it. Draymond, all these guys, he's a fake tough guy because what's happening is, you know, he wants to be this big bad bully on the court. And really, and you know this as well, Whitey, from having coached and played, you should let your game do the talking. And that's what Anthony Edwards did 2 games ago, right? Remember, Draymond started talking to him and Anthony Edwards is like, bro, you know, I'll show you. You know, he's like, what you going to do?
Exactly.
Draymond said, what are you going to do? And Anthony Edwards was like, no, don't come at me like that. And so,
but he did do something about it. He torched him.
Yeah, he torched him. And that's how you get back. Draymond doesn't have the ability to get back in that way. And so he has to muck it up. He has to try and dirty it up. And it is not good for basketball. I understand it's good for us, sports talk shows.
Yes.
First Take, all those guys. But if you go to a game and you just want to watch basketball, that's not good.
From the 530 here on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. 5 games for Draymond. It should be at least 10 games. As a law enforcement officer, I've arrested people for less than what he did. 916 says 10 games. Someone else, 916, says whether players like it or not, they are role models. Draymond is a violent recidivist thug with a huge track record. He made the bed. Silver set an example. I'm with Draper. Call it what it is. This ain't Oakley and the Knicks.
Exactly. Those days are long gone because, first of all, these guys make way too much money to be, you know, want to be, you know, thugs and want to fight and all that. You know, you're talking multimillionaires. Leave that stuff on the playground. You're well past that, Draymond Green. And what the crazy thing is, I say 5 games. There are some people who think, you know what? He wasn't even like Rudy Gobert should be suspended also or should have got ejected also because he, quote, put his hands on Klay Thompson. What Rudy did and what Draymond did, way different things, way different.
Yeah, I was surprised watching it live that Rudy Gobert was not initially penalized at all. Initially, I thought, well, that's unusual. Then you watch it and you understand why. He really didn't do anything. It looked like he was trying to separate people. That's what he was trying to do. This whole thing with the Warriors, they have, and I know we're not fans of the Warriors here in Sacramento, and I understand that. They have a great organization. They have accomplished great things. They have great people. But they have totally mismanaged this Draymond Green situation. They talk about culture there, and culture is one of the reasons they've won the 4 championships. How is this good for their culture? They've just let this guy run crazy. How many times during the recent years that Draymond has done something that we all said, wow, that's wrong, how many times has he come out really and been sincerely regretful for his actions? I can't think of one.
Right. No. And that's the problem.
And the league and the team as
right.
Okay. They allow that.
It's like, where's the, you know what? I apologize. You know what, guys? You're right. I went too far. He's never said I went too far. He punched Jordan Poole, and Jordan Poole wasn't the same at all last year. And I understand people want to make fun of Jordan Poole, clown him. He was an integral part of them winning the championship against the Celtics a couple of years ago. And what he did to Jordan Poole fractured that locker room, fractured that team. It wasn't the same ever since. So much so that they had to trade Jordan Poole. And now you got Draymond. Here's the thing. Steph Curry, as great as he is, he's a role model on and off the court. It's like Draymond's like on his other shoulder, the alter ego. That's the bad guy and mm-hmm. gives that team toughness. And they don't need that. Like, they're good enough to win without Draymond's antics.
Yeah.
It's Adam Silver has to do something. I want to hear from the people, too. I know we got Anthony Slater coming up, and we're going to talk about this throughout the day, obviously, 916-339-1140. But I say 5 games, it has to be if I'm Adam Silver.
I wouldn't argue with that, but I don't think they'll have the guts to give more than 3. So I'm not saying you're wrong,
but there's no way
they will give him more than 3, in my opinion.
Why? Because they want him to be
They want him out there. Yeah, they don't want – it doesn't
Draymond
benefit.
Doesn't move the needle like that basketball-wise, though, Whitey.
The Warriors do,
and they
know
still
that.
Will without Draymond.
And you have
as
Draymond
long as you
back.
Got Steph Curry, I think they'll still move the needle.
The thing I was going to say, though, is that, you know, when Draymond – and he has in the past given these kind of half-baked – yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but maybe I should have. And so when you get that, there is zero accountability. None.
Right. That's the word
None.
Right there.
And for this Warrior franchise to turn a blind eye to all this.
No remorse,
it's
no nothing. No remorse.
It's so counter to what they stand for as an organization.
Exactly. And the thing that's interesting about that, you're right. They are a great organization. Steve Kerr is great.
That's one of the reasons we don't like him here. We kind of resent
exactly.
what an organization
like Steve Kerr is at the forefront when it comes to gun violence, racism, politics, whatever. He will chime in and let you know his thoughts. But then on this, it's like he turns a blind eye to what his own player is doing.
Yep. Where does the league go from here? We'll see what Anthony Slater thinks of that, the Warriors insider for The Athletic. He joins us next year on The Drive, guys. Sack time. Anthony Slater from The Athletic going to join us here on this. It's a frustrating day, right? That here we are dealing with Draymond Green and another outburst again.
Yeah, that's
figure out what the league's going to do.
And the thing is, from a basketball standpoint, he could not garner this much attention, right? Like, he's not that kind of player anymore. He had the one game, game 5, against the Kings, where he scored 21, I think it was. But he's like their 5th, 6th option now offensively.
Yeah, he is really good defensively still. Yeah, he's not what he was, but he's really good defensively.
Yeah, but that's what's so upsetting about this, because he doesn't need to do all this. Like, it to me, it seems like I said, it's a guy who's trying to hang on, realize the end is coming, the run might be over, and it's like, dude, chill out. It's the first 2 minutes of a game, Whitey. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why he's so fired up.
Here's somebody who perhaps can help us understand, covering the Warriors and the NBA at large for The Athletic, the great Anthony Slater. Anthony, thanks for your time. What the heck happened last night?
A little fun, a little in-season tournament drama, you know, just trying to juice up the IST, as they're calling it, you know, a fight before there was a point scored. I do not think I've ever seen that.
Would you say that was a fracas, a melee, a scrap, or an all-out brawl, Anthony?
I wouldn't say all-out brawl because, I mean, no punches, but all the other terms I would say describe it.
Yeah. What's your take on it? What's your viewpoint on it? Was Gobert in the wrong? What did you see have actually happen out there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the McDaniels-Clay thing obviously set it off. That was like a weird jersey pull tug-of-war that turned a little bit darker than I think either of them wanted to. I thought they could have been fine with a double T, but then when it devolved into everything else, I guess the referee felt he needed to eject both of them. I think Gobert put himself in harm's way a little bit by, you know, he went over to break it up, and the referee deemed him a peacemaker, didn't give him any penalty, mm-hmm. but he did grab Clay. Well, you know, I don't think it was grab Clay to try to do anything to Clay except try to break it up. But once you grab Clay Thompson and your name is Rudy Gobert, you are in Draymond Green's crosshairs. Mm-hmm. And then what happened Draymond obviously took it. I think people counted it. It was a 9 second, and, you know, headlock, chokehold, whatever you want, bring him to the ground. And I would assume there will be discipline for Draymond Green at some point, either drop it in the next few hours or maybe tomorrow.
The Warriors' sixth game from here would be that tournament game at Golden One. What do you? I know we're just guessing here. What do you think the chances are the NBA suspends him for six or more games?
I don't think he'll get that high. I mean, you know, I think five would probably be tops. Again, I'm guessing here.
Right.
You know, there's game checks involved here too, so it's a pretty stiff penalty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, Carmelo had that sucker punch years ago, got 10. That's usually on the pretty steep side. I mean, I don't want to get too deep into this. Like, Mikal Bridges just has 10 to start this season. I mean, think about what he's facing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was kind of guessing last night maybe 1-3, but I could see if the NBA wants to really kind of put their thumb on the scale because it's Draymond. I think 5 is the top side.
Anthony Slater joining us, covering the Kings and the Warriors, of course. You know, Anthony, you know, one thing we talked about is we feel like the league has enabled Draymond. The Warriors have enabled Draymond. You know the laundry list of things he's done. The Jordan Poole incident, stomping Sabonis. What's the Warriors organizational culpability in this in terms of enabling Draymond? Am I making too much of that?
Not necessarily, but they want to win. And they've decided to do business with him. And because he wins games, you know, and he has for a decade. And I mean, you mentioned a few incidents go way back, go to 2016, you know, getting suspended in the finals,
yeah,
and, you know, the aftermath of that. You know, they just signed him to a 4-year $100 million deal after the Jordan Poole incident. Mm-hmm. Right. So, because he was great last year, he was like third in defensive player of the year. And, you know, he had the Sabonis stomp in the King series, but he was also good down the stretch of that King series. Mm-hmm. And, they want to win titles, and they don't think anything he's done has risen to the level of, like, you know, breakup, clearly, because, you know, they keep signing him, and he is empowered to act as he wants to act, you know, and people can have their issues with it, but he's made it very clear he's going to keep doing it. I mean, this is his second injection this week after his first injection
right.
had to do with the Donovan Mitchell incident in the Cleveland game. He went on Instagram and was like, don't tell me I can't be Draymond. I'm always going to be Draymond. I've succeeded being Draymond. And, I mean, he's right. You know, think about how much money he's gotten paid. Think about, you know, how much he's won. And, you know, you can blame the league. You can blame the Warriors. But I think some of their opinions, they're, you know, he creates content for us. He creates interest for the league. I mean, people are talking about the in-season tournament game last night. I mean, he's topic number one in sports, you know, during an NFL calendar right now. So, you know, I think their opinion is it's not the worst thing ever for the league. And he wins games.
See, that's what I think, Anthony. I think on some level it is good for the league. Anything involving the Warriors is good for the league, and that's why I think they won't go more than 3. But I wanted to ask you, and you answered part of this question already. Before last season, it seemed the Warriors were poised to move on from Draymond, looked like they were about to move on from Draymond, and then they reverse field on that. What changed their minds?
He played well, like I said. Mm-hmm. You know, he was third in defensive player of the year. Steph Curry extended his prime, which seems endless at this point, and proved to the front office and the ownership group who are making the decision that, you know, Steph was worth investing in. And that's correct, I would say. You know, at this point, you know, Steph's still a top 5 player. And part of Steph Curry's desires as he rides out this era, and it has been a very fruitful era for the Warriors organization that's included 4 titles and the sparkling new arena in San Francisco, has been Draymond Green, and it's Steph Curry's desire to keep him around to try to go after, you know, 5th title. And the other, you know, side of the coin is, like, Jordan Poole had a bad season, in some ways kind of, you know, I guess you could say pouted his way out of town, and they decided this summer they needed to, you know, move on from one of the two, and the one they chose was a younger one, who they didn't think could help win as much, and they flipped him for Chris Paul. And you know, they're the most ruthless way they can put it is they're in the business of winning. I think, you know, we all understand that in sports, and they still believe Draymond Green, you know, leads them towards that goal.
If you're Adam Silver, what do you do though? I maintain that there's a Draymond problem going on, and maybe I'm going too far. Maybe, you know, my dislike of the Warriors is coming out here, Anthony, but you just said it. He got thrown out of a game on Saturday. Him and Anthony Edwards getting into it on Sunday. Then yesterday he gets ejected, for the headlock. I mean, when is enough? Is there an issue that's bigger that the league needs to take a look at when it comes to Draymond?
Yeah, as far as what he's going to do, he's going to give him a suspension that probably will be a little bit larger than if, you know, random player X did something. Obi Toppin did the same thing tonight. Obi Toppin's probably getting 2 to 3 games less. So there's a stiffer penalty. And, you know, they made it clear after the Sabonis stomp in the playoffs that part of their decision-making was his past, like repeat offender, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I don't think, you know, he's doing anything that's risen to the level of like, oh, kick him out of the league or something like that. And he's just going to kind of keep doing this. You're going to kind of have to keep responding incident by incident and, stiffen up the penalties as much as you'd like. But, you know, he's never done anything, you know, criminal or over the top or something that I would say, like, you know, hurts his standing in the league. You just kind of, like I said, got to go incident by incident. And, you know, he's losing a lot of money within this. The technicals really eat at his pocketbook and the ejections, particularly game checks. Like I said, if he gets 3-5 games right now, like, you know, we're talking millions of dollars out of his pocket, which, you know, whatever, if you don't care that much or you don't think that's that big of a deal, a penalty for a guy that makes as much money as he does. But trust me, he cares. He's going to care about that money coming out.
Anthony Slater from The Athletic with us. For all the focus on, you know, understandably, Draymond and Rudy Gobert, I've been trying to figure out why did this start. And it's interesting, I think McDaniel said that there was some back and forth between he and Clay. Well, the game had just started. So, Anthony, this is just a theory. What do you think it's possible that Clay shoots that air ball? McDaniel says something and Clay doesn't like. So then next time down the floor, Clay, instead of boxing out, he grabs a fistful of jersey, and then McDaniels retaliates, does the same, and things just kind of snowball from there?
Yeah, I think there's a little of that. I also think that, remember, this was the second of two games between these two teams, and, you know, you guys have been around. Like, it sets up this mini like playoff series where the Warriors were, you know, a little, their pride was, I think, wounded a little after that first loss, and they came into the game knowing Steph Curry wasn't going to be there, knowing how physical Minnesota had played in the first game, and they were like, let's up the physicality. Let's crack them on box outs. Let's, you know, they had to win that game ugly without Steph Curry. That was the thought going in. Jaden McDaniels is kind of like the defensive ace. He was going to be on Clay a lot because Steph wasn't out there, and I think Clay was trying to get physical on box out early in the game, and then what you're saying, I think, is correct. It was a jersey pull, then it was another jersey pull, and then it kind of snowballed to a place. Again, I don't really think either was trying to really take it, and then it escalated.
Anthony Slater. Anthony, my last question, you know, obviously we're up here in Sacramento, but when you look at what's happening with the Warriors, they started off so strong, won five, you know, they were 5-1, but since then they've lost, what, 5 out of 6, 4 in a row. What's happening with Golden State? Who's the real Warriors, would you say?
What's funny is it's flipped. It's the trends completely flipped from last year. I don't know if you remember, but they were like amazing at home last year. Could not win a road game. Right now they're 5-2 on the road and 1-4 at home. But you know what's happening? Like, Andrew Wiggins is in a deep slump right now. He's like 5 of 33 from 3, 50% from the free throw line. His handle's completely off. Clay's not shooting it well because those two secondary scorers, neither have even scored 20 in a game yet, are so off. The starting lineup, which is supposed to be their backbone, has been their worst lineup. It's getting them in holes. I actually have liked what the depth has shown. Chris Paul in the second unit has been good. Pajemski kind of came out of nowhere last night. I don't know if it, you know, how deeply y'all were watching the game, but, you know, I think they got a pretty good rookie. Moody's shown some stuff. I still am kind of waiting for Kuminga to come along. So, you know, there's some good and bad early in the season. Steph still looks like a, you know, a top five player, which is probably the biggest thing. But they got to get Wiggins and Clay going. And if they do, I do think they're in that mix, you know, below the Nuggets, you know, wherever you want to put them, 2 through 7. If Wiggins and Clay don't get going, Steph just doesn't have enough offensive help. And then I think their flaws really start to show.
Slates, thanks so much for your time. We always appreciate it. Take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas. Big road trip to the Kings coming
up. Hey, you going to be out there? You out at any of those games?
I wanted to make the L.A. game. I don't think I could. Last night kind of took a little out of me, and then I don't think I can make the backside. I will. That you mentioned that in-season tournament game, though, that Warriors-Kings.
Yeah.
There could be some stuff on the line, especially Vegas might be on the line.
You're right about that. Yeah. All right, we'll see you then. That's 2 weeks from yesterday. Yes.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Anthony Slater. Yeah, with the scoop on whatever that was that went down last night. A lot of different things. A perfect storm of just a bunch of idiotic behavior, frankly.
Yeah, and, you know, it started with Klay Thompson, obviously, the grabbing of the jersey. It escalated from there. And, you know, when you look at it, and this is why what Draymond did is so wrong. Because it was already at a point where, you know what, we need to calm it down. Like, that was the time to start bringing it down.
Because the two main combatants were both like, hey, all right, right.
Yeah, you're right about that. And but then Draymond comes and just puts lighter fluid on the whole situation. Uh-huh. And so that's why it's so dangerous and it could have escalated. And, you know, I can't wait. If you're the NBA, when's the Warriors' next game? Tomorrow, I think it is. I think they have
OKC.
Yeah, they got a two in a row against OKC coming up starting tomorrow. You would think that we would have some sort of announcement by the league before then.
Yeah, I think what Slate say, maybe this afternoon even.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Thanks again to Anthony Slater. Thank you for being with us. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Got any thoughts on where the league should go from here? We're back with that and also tell you how the Kings will try to keep the beam lit against the Lakers tonight when we come right back. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Hey, guess who we're talking about today? It's Drive Guys. I'm trying to make sense of what that was last night in San Francisco. Warrior fans, NBA fans, Kings fans weighing in on where the NBA should go from here on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Kyle from the 916. I'm a Warriors fan. I'm tired of it. Teams used to respect him when he was playing elite defense. Now it's nothing but detrimental to the team. They lost a winnable game last night because him and Klay got tossed.
100% right. 100% right. And, you know, you got a segment of the Warriors fan base that wants to, you know, support him, back him, you know. But then you have a text like this, objective Warriors fans. Warriors fans who can see what is happening right now. This team is reeling. That was a big game for them. They needed that game last night. They had been reeling. They had lost three in a row. That was an in-season tournament game at that. And so now you're without Klay, you're without Draymond. You could argue he cost his team the game last night.
Bottom line is, and Anthony tried to explain it, the Warriors had to make that decision. Are we in with Draymond or are we out? You know what?
Right.
He causes a lot of headaches. You remember there was infamously Steve Kerr once was mic'd. And microphones caught him. He said, I'm so tired of Draymond's bleep. Remember that? He said that during the game.
I remember that.
But they made the decision. He helps us win. So we have to do whatever we have to do to keep him around and keep him happy. That's the deal they decided to make.
Here's where the Warriors are messing up, though, Whitey. And you tell me if I'm wrong. Draymond is like a son to them. You know, I'm talking to Steve Kerr. Like, he's homegrown guy you drafted, you bring up, you develop. And it's like having a kid and you're going to defend him to the death. But really what you should do is when they mess up, admonish them, try to correct them, let them atone for their mistakes. Instead, they're enabling Draymond.
100% agree.
You know, and that's the problem, you know, and when you enable someone, then it becomes they're more apt to do it again. And what you're seeing now, Draymond feels like he's Teflon. They're not going to do anything to me. I can act any way I want. Like what he did here in Sacramento back in April was that unconscionable. And Adam Silver was in attendance at that playoff game when Draymond stomped on Sabonis in game two and then you know, showed up the crowd as well. And so that's why I think the league, at a minimum, it has to be five games. Because if this was his first offense, all right, a game or two. But this guy has a long pattern of doing these kind of things.
I think, and I'm sure you agree, that ship has sailed. You said there was a point at which they could have sat him down, tried to teach him right from wrong. In this case, he's a grown man. But I think that ship has sailed. That's not an option anymore.
It's not, because they've created this monster,
exactly.
Right? They've helped create this monster, this guy that feels like he's above rebuke. And really what's so upsetting about this, after the shot to LeBron's, you know, private parts back in 2016, you would have thought he would have learned his lesson. You cost your team a championship probably by getting suspended in that game. And so, and he hasn't learned his lesson. And I think the only way he can learn his lesson is by a lengthy suspension, five games, I think.
I think it may be now to the point where he's not going to learn that lesson, no matter what they did, you know? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Casey's been hanging on. Hey, Casey, you're on with the Drive Guys. Drapes and Whitey, what's up?
Oh, not much. What's going on with you guys?
What's up, man?
Thanks
what's
for
up,
hanging
player?
On. Yeah, how can we help you?
So I was calling about the Draymond thing, obviously. Drapes kind of stole my thunder, but as far as Steve Kerr, everything that you said, Drapes, earlier, this guy's always coming out wanting to be on top of every topic and telling people, you know, gun violence and protect the kids from gun violence and all this stuff, everything. And then he wants to make every single excuse for Draymond. That when I watch him, it's sickening and it takes away his credibility. So with the Draymond stomp, you know, he's like, oh, well, you know, Sabonis grabbed his foot and, you know, and then the other day, oh, I didn't even know you could go back and look at a play from two plays earlier. And instead of just saying, you know, Draymond, you shouldn't be doing this stuff. Like, he makes every excuse, but then when it comes to every other topic, he wants to be on the front lines acting like he's out there rallying the troops to stop this stuff. And then he's condoning violence from his own player, you know? And I just don't like that at all personally. But as far as the suspension, I think it will be at least 5 games, because if you remember last year, nobody really thought he was going to get suspended for that playoff game, and Adam Silver suspended him because at the time the Warriors were down 2-0, and people were basically saying if they suspend Draymond, the series is over, the Kings are going to win. And people thought they didn't want the Warriors getting swept or losing in 5, and they still suspended him in the playoffs. So I think they might get him for at least 5 games, if not, you know, maybe even more.
Thank you, Casey. That's a
Casey,
great point.
Good call, man.
And as you pointed out, Kyle, 5 games, we were both talking about this. If it's a 5-game suspension, then his 6th game or his first game back would be the game against the Kings at the Golden One Center. That would be delicious.
That would be delicious. And to your point, Whitey, regarding the league and, you know, the Warriors standing, that would be the final in-season tournament game. If you're Adam Silver, do you want him to miss all the rest of the in-season tournament games, the other two that you have?
I would guess
not. And then
not.
The Warriors maybe would be eliminated from possibly going to Vegas. And so maybe you bring them back against the Kings with an in-season tournament, advancement berth on the line. That would be massive.
Now, I think if he misses 5 games, does he miss 2 tournament games? There's a San Antonio game in there I know he would miss.
San Antonio and Sacramento. They've already played 2,
okay,
and they got 2 more, San Antonio and Sacramento. He would miss those 2 games. I mean, if he missed 5, it would be the 1 game. If he missed 6, it would be 2, yes.
Sean joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Sean, you're on with the Drive Guys. Hello, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So this whole Draymond thing is getting out of control. He's acting like that old uncle who tries to play with the younger guys, and then he gets beat, and he's like tripping them up, right? That's what it feels like. And it's not like it's once or twice. This is happening. This is like the 3rd time this week. And another thing, I mean, he's going after star players. I mean, we're talking all NBA guys with Sabonis, that cheap shot to Mitchell. He had something with Anthony Edwards, you know, the other day with the foul. And now Rudy Gobert is still an all NBA guy. These are very important players on big time teams that he's trying to take out. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing what he's doing out there. And NBA needs to step up. And I'm thinking somewhere between 5 to 10 games, because this needs to absolutely stop, because it just can't keep going on. This is not the 80s and 90s NBA,
right,
where this stuff was everybody was doing. This is like the new NBA. Nobody cares about Draymond acting all tough. Remember Anthony says nobody messes with you, Draymond. I mean, come on. He just needs to cut it out.
Gotcha, Sean. Here's the thing, though. The NBA cracks down on him. Maybe they will.
Right.
I doubt they will, but I understand why. If they do, I understand it, but I doubt they will. It's not like he's going to finally go, oh, yeah, well, now I've learned my lesson. It's not. Whether it's 2 games, 5 games, 10 games, he's going to come back and say, I'm still going to be me.
Yeah. You know what would help? It probably won't happen, Whitey, but if other players came out and say, dude, there's no place in our league for this. Like, really, everybody wants to just play basketball. They don't want all that extracurricular stuff. They want to play basketball and make their money. They don't want to square up. They don't want to get in any real fisticuffs. And so I would like to see some players come out and say, you know what? We don't condone that. But, I mean, it's a brotherhood, so they won't do that. But, you know, I think that might be something that'll send a message to Draymond if a player did that.
Is this Dathan joining us? Hey, Dathan, you're on the Drive Guys. Thanks for checking in. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Just real quick, I'm from old school, man. I'm a native New Yorker, and I grew up in the era where dudes didn't have the little skirts on. They had little shorts on, but they didn't have skirts on. If it got rough, it got rough. The NBA is too soft right now. Way too soft.
Come on, Dave. Hey, hold up. Hold up, Dave. And I'm going to come at you. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me right now. Listen to me. Don't come on the show talking about I'm from New York. No, I'm from Philadelphia. But you're talking, these guys are soft. That's what I'm saying. They're multi-million dollar millionaires. They got boatloads of money. And you know as well as I do, why would you risk that to be hard and strong on the basketball court?
But here's the thing I'm getting at, too, is that the NBA now, they're taking the emotion out of the game. You can't even trash talk. You can't do any type of gesture to show aggression except for dunking. Even if you dunk it, we know you dunk on somebody, you posterize them. That's something to get excited about. You do that on the street. You do that in street ball. A lot of these dudes grew up playing street ball. Draymond has that. And sometimes it does get excessive, but these dudes are too soft now. I mean, when everybody talk about what Sabonis did and he stomped on Sabonis, anybody see when Sabonis grabbed his ankle? He
didn't have are you a Warriors fan? Yet. You outed yourself, right?
No.
Are you a Warriors fan?
No.
Yes or no?
I am a Warriors fan, and I'm a Knicks fan. Kings, let me just say this about the Kings real quick. When I moved to, because I live here in Sacramento now, when I moved to Sacramento, I knew nothing about the Kings. I didn't even know Sacramento had a team. They were the worst team ever until Weber got here, and then they started, they had Jason Williams, and so they
let me ask you this, though. I'm sorry to cut you off. I know I got a reputation for cutting people off. When did you move here, and when did you become a Warriors fan?
I moved here in 93, but I was a Warriors fan when Sprewell played with them.
Oh, because he is a Knicks guy.
John Mullen, when he was in St. John's, when I was living in New York. I was been a Warriors fan since then.
Thank
and
you,
then
Dathan.
Weber got with them.
Yeah, thank you for the call. It's Chris Mullen, not John. I don't know John Mullen.
He's Jay is like, hold on now. The numbers ain't adding up. The timeline is not adding up. Spree wasn't even a Warrior back then.
Well, here's the thing. It's one thing, Dathan, to talk about, hey, in the old days they played harder. But we're not talking about like a hard foul. We're talking about Draymond, you know, early Draymond, kicking people in the scrotum.
Right, in the private parts.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not like playing hard. That's just dirty. So there's a difference between dirty and cheap shots and then just whatever last night was. That wasn't playing hard.
Right. And he's confusing things. He's saying the league is too soft, you know, dunking on people. That's talking about the officiating handing texts for flexing and stuff like that. What Draymond did, that has nothing to do with.
Category.
Yeah, that's an entirely different argument we're having right there.
Yeah. And I don't. John Mullen, I'm not familiar.
John Mullen.
Yeah, we do appreciate
the great John
listening.
Mullen. Yeah. He is a righty three-point shooter.
We're taking time out. Back to the phones, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The upside downside to the Kings playing the Lakers tonight. And more on Draymond and where the league goes from here next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.